What is going on, sports fans? Welcome back into the Glass Half Full and ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in. Going to continue today with our coverage of SEC Media Days, getting you ready for day four, the final day of the conference kickoff to really what is kind of it's the kickoff to the season, really, because a lot of the teams are, and we'll talk about fall camp coming up in a little bit with one of these teams we're going to be talking about that was at the event yesterday. But yeah, lots of teams getting ready within the next couple of weeks to start fall camp. So it's getting serious. It's getting that time of year once again. So let's go ahead and just kind of dive right into it. Just going to be kind of an SEC Media Day focused episode today, if you will. So we're going to start off by recapping day three and kind of work through some of the stuff from that. Steve Sarkisian, Texas head coach, took to the podium. Really kind of very, very similar to what we heard from Kirby Smart, except for all the rah-rah. You know, Kirby Smart had a lot of rah-rah where he was talking about how Jordan-Hare Stadium's a great place to play and all of that stuff. You didn't get a lot of that from Steve Sarkisian. He kept it X's and O's and Jimmy's and Joe's, but really was kind of talking about how his team's excited for this upcoming season, especially after getting to the college football playoff last year. Really kind of getting a taste of what it's like to be in the playoffs. Now they want to not only get back, but take that next step and get to a national championship game, and says that the team is hungry and has been working their tail off to get to that point. Said that there is one area defensively he'd really like to see them improve on. That is against the pass. Last year, defensively against the run, they were really, really good. But against the pass was really an issue with them, especially in the college football playoffs when they came up against Michael Penix Jr. and Kalen DeBoer in the offense that they are going to be running in Tuscaloosa. So Steve Sarkisian probably realized that. He probably picked up on that, watched the film from that game against Washington in the playoffs and said, oh, we've got to play this every year. Yeah, we might want to work on defending the pass a little bit better. And yeah, it was definitely, that was, if you had to point to a weak point for Texas last year, probably was defensively against the pass. So Sark is just trying to secure that up, and he said that team's done a really good job of responding to that and working hard through the offseason to make sure that they are better defensively against the pass to kind of match where they were last year against the run. And look, I'm going to say this right now. If the Texas Longhorns can get their pass defense to match their run defense, they are going to be a very, very, very tough team to play. They're already going to be a tough team to play because they are a national champion caliber team. But if they match their passing defense to their rushing defense, oh, it is going to be extremely hard, even for teams like Georgia, to really get anything going against that Texas defense. So definitely looking forward to seeing the product that they put on the field. It's very refreshing and nice to hear that a coach is, you know, he's acknowledging what the team didn't do well last year and saying, hey, that's what we need to do better at this year, especially with, like I mentioned, Kalen DeBoer, the guy that kind of really exposed them in the passing game in the college football playoffs with Michael Penix Jr. And with Washington. He's now the head coach at Alabama. Right? It's not a situation of like, well, we may see a team like that in the playoffs. No, you're going to see a team like that, really, honestly, and truthfully, all throughout the SEC, because it's not just Alabama with Kalen DeBoer as their new head coach. You're going to see that with Jackson Dart at Ole Miss with Lane Kiffin. If you show a sign of being weak against the pass, oh, the Lane train is going to go air raid on your behind. Right? I mean, it's the smart thing to do. And when you got a quarterback like Jackson Dart, you're able to do that. So smart move by Sarkisian in the offseason, really kind of showing that that mentality that he developed working with so closely to Saban of you know, addressing those issues and kind of creating this perfect, complete team across the board that is extremely hard to beat. And if, like I said, if Texas can get their pass defense to match their run defense, that is exactly what they are going to be, especially Quinn Ewers at quarterback. And even if Quinn Ewers go down, you know, you have this guy named Arch Manning. I think you might have heard of his uncles. And his grandpa. Yeah, they're pretty good at the quarterback position in that family. So Texas is set up to have one heck of a season this year, and I think Sark knows that, and he's really high on his ball club. A guy I mentioned a moment ago, Kalen DeBoer, getting ready to have year one in Bryant-Denny Stadium. One of the more fun places to go watch a ball game, if you ask me, in the Southeastern Conference. There's a list. I'll be happy to give you that list anytime. Just ask me, and I'll be happy to pass it on to you. But definitely Bryant-Denny is one of those spots where if you are traveling around and wanting to watch college football games in different stadiums to get different experiences, Bryant-Denny, the Swamp, Neyland Stadium, Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, all definitely have to be on those lists for sure. But as far as the team at Alabama and what Kalen DeBoer talked about in his first SEC Media Days appearance yesterday, really, first and foremost, he thanked the community of Tuscaloosa. And I think that's smart. You know, he thanked them for welcoming his family into the area. They've officially been in the area for 6 months. And, you know, he really thanked them because, really, it could have gone one of two ways. It could have gone the way it did where they welcomed him in and were so warm and inviting to them. Or it could have been, who is this outsider that's here to replace our coach? Right? It very well could have been that way. And there's even some Alabama fans that are that way, right? They're like, oh, this guy's not Nick Saban. He's not going to be Nick Saban. I give him three seasons. Wow. First and foremost. But the sad fact is there are Alabama fans out there that are saying those things, unfortunately. But I think Kalen DeBoer is going to do a great job. Seems to love being in Tuscaloosa. Was, you know, asked a couple of different questions about the difference between being in a place like Washington and Tuscaloosa. And he was like, you know, the people make the place. And Tuscaloosa so far has been a fantastic place to live in. We'll ask that question again after he loses a game. But right now, it's all sunshine and rainbows in Tuscaloosa. Everybody's showing him love, to not just him, but his entire family. One question I did think was funny, they asked, you know, what's he learned from living in the South so far up until this point? He said, well, I sweat more here. Yeah, well, welcome to the South, Coach. Welcome to the South. Wait till you're on that practice field in August and you get the season kicked off in August. You think it's hot now in July? Whoo, Tuscaloosa in August is even September. That's not a fun place to play around with, especially if you're out in the heat all day long with practices and stuff like that. But as far as the X's and O's and things on the field, said that he is really excited for this year's team, that the team is really buying into what he wants to do there as the head coach. And, you know, there's no kind of, well, this is how we did things with Coach Saban. There hasn't been any issues like that, that everybody's kind of buying in. They understand that Coach Saban is retired. Coach Saban called it a career. And now Kalen DeBoer is the new guy in charge, and they're all following suit and falling in line with the plan that he has for them. And that plan will get in motion in 2 weeks when they start fall camp. So 2 weeks from this week, they will be starting off with fall camp, getting ready for the season. So what is that? Beginning of August, end of July, something like that. Yeah, so they'll have about 2 or 3 weeks of practice before they have their game week and get the season kicked off with Kalen DeBoer as the new head coach at Alabama. Something else he touched on was the coaching staff. Says he's feeling really good and really confident about the staff that he put together there in Tuscaloosa. And he's just overall excited about this upcoming season because there's a lot of good things to look forward to. And he said that, you know, Jalen Milroe has really kind of stepped up as the leader of that team and in that program. So definitely going to be interesting. I think Kalen DeBoer is a guy, his first year at Alabama with the team that he inherited from Nick Saban, 9-10 wins, I don't think that's out of the question for Alabama this year. And honestly, with the 12-team playoff, 9-10 wins, if you're Alabama, that's going to get you in probably, right? So I think Kalen DeBoer is probably going to find himself back in the college football playoff unless things just go catastrophically wrong for him in year one. I think he'll find himself right back in the college football playoffs, this time with the Crimson Tide instead of Washington. Billy Napier at Florida took to the stands right after Coach DeBoer. And he, you know, had quite a bit of things to answer because there are two coaches in the SEC that are entering this season really on hot seats. And Billy Napier is one of them, and we'll talk about the other one coming up in just a few minutes when we get to the coaches that are going to be talking today. But Billy Napier, definitely one of those coaches that is on the hot seat a little bit. And I said it on yesterday's show, and during yesterday's show when I brought this up, I said, I will say it again. So here we are, me saying it again. Billy Napier has a crucial game week one against Miami because I full-heartedly believe, again, the coach that loses that game will get a pink slip before the end of the regular season is over for college football. So it is a crucial, crucial game for him week one, August 31st in the Swamp. I believe that's a night game on ABC. So you've got to be ready to go. You know, you've got to be on point and ready for this game. Because you can't, especially with your schedule in that back half, if you're Billy Napier in Florida, you can't play around and get caught off guard early on against some of these teams that you should beat. And in all honesty, if you look at Miami, I know there's a lot of talking, a lot of people are talking about Miami like they're this, you know, giant in the college football world right now. And, you know, logo-wise and historically, yes, they are. But with what they've done the last couple of seasons, honestly and truthfully, at home, at night, Florida has no excuse why they should not win this football game. Right? Unless half their offense just goes out with injuries, really, there's no reason why Florida should not be able to beat Miami, honestly and truthfully, by a couple of scores. You know, a 10-point win for Florida over Miami, 34-24, something along those lines. There's no reason why you couldn't win this ball game that way. It's a night game in the swamp. You're healthy. You've got a full, complete roster that is made up of Billy Napier guys, which is another thing he talked about. He talked about how this roster is stabilized. That's the word he used. It's stabilized. There's no weak links anymore. There's depth at just about every position. They've got guys where they need them to be. And you've even brought in more guys to kind of shore up certain positions and maybe take over a position and provide a little bit more talent there. The team is consistently doing extra. That was another thing he hit on. He said that he had an old head coach that he used to play for that said championship teams do extra. And he said that he's had lots of opportunities this year where he's come into work and he's had his sons with him and they walk by the weight room going to his office there in the new complex that they have for him down there in Gainesville. And there'll be 50 to 70 guys on there on time in the weight room working out extra. And he said that that's one of the things that gives him hope and excitement, and he's proud of this team is the fact that they are consistently doing the extra work to be better. I said back in January, knew this team could be special. And also, I think this is the big thing. This was my number one takeaway from anything Billy Napier said, that they added extra layer of expertise to their defensive coaching staff and their special team coaching staff. Why is that a problem? Well, first and foremost, defensively last year had a lot of issues, right? Especially in the secondary. So any kind of extra expertise you can add to that coaching staff is not going to hurt. It's just going to bolster it and make it even better. Special teams, let's not forget this team multiple times had miscues on special teams throughout the season that really had Florida fans. One of the reasons why there was a lot of Florida fans wanting Billy Napier fired at the end of the season was because they were like, is he even managing the team properly? We can't even get lined up for a field goal or a punt return properly. So how do we know that he's actually coaching and getting this team where they need to be? So now that they've added more expertise, hopefully that means for Florida, you're not going to see two guys wearing the same number on a punt return. You're not going to see issues with them getting the field goal team out onto the field or having not enough guys on certain special team plays. There were multiple times last year where Florida would go to defend a field goal and only have 10 guys on the field. Multiple times that happened last year. So the fact that they add extra expertise to the defensive side of the ball and the special team side of the ball, much like we talked about with Steve Sarkisian, that's Billy Napier understanding what were issues for them a year ago and what really cost them. Because honestly and truthfully, if they get the field goal lined up more cleanly against Arkansas, they win that game against Arkansas. And then you got to wonder what happens after that, because that was really kind of demoralizing for Florida. When they lost that game to Arkansas, the way that they did in overtime, I was very demoralizing for the Florida Gators, and it really kind of cost them, like they just kind of trailed off the rest of the season. So if that ends up being a win, I think we're talking about a Florida team that probably goes into Missouri and has an opportunity of beating Missouri, because look how close that game was a year ago. Or without Jordan Travis, if Graham Mertz is healthy, could have beaten Florida State and could have potentially found themselves into a bowl game with 6 wins. And it would have been a whole different narrative had they could have gotten lined up perfectly for that field goal against Arkansas. That play could have changed Much like we talked about with Eli Drinkwitz yesterday, how he was talking about that 61-yard field goal by Mavis last year changed against Kansas State. It changed the outlook and the outcome of their season. If Florida was able to get lined up against Arkansas, they could have done the same thing, potentially. So the fact that they've added extra layer of expertise there definitely is a sign to me, excuse me, that Billy Napier's trying to at least get this team moving in the right direction. And we'll see what happens once they kick it off again August 31st against Miami. Let's move on now to the coaches. We'll be talking today, wrapping up the final day of SEC Media Days. One of those coaches, we talked about Billy Napier being one of two coaches on the hot seat in the SEC. The other one is Sam Pittman at Arkansas. He's going to be taken to the podium today. I believe he's actually going to be up first. And that's what I want to hear him talk about, is handling that hot seat, right? Knowing that that is definitely, because let's be honest, if you're going to put money down, if you're a betting person, I'm not really a betting person, but if you are, and you're going to put money down on a coach from the SEC to lose their job, Sam Pittman's definitely the choice to go with. The time frame he's been in Arkansas, the fact that they really have not really been able to build a strong rhythm moving forward, definitely one of those things that's working against him, right? And, you know, when you continue to lose players to the transfer portal or whatever it may be, it makes it even worse. So I think one thing I want to hear from Sam Pittman today is, how is this team moving forward, knowing that there's a very good chance that they could lose their head coach halfway through the season? How does this team respond to the fact that nobody really is expecting Arkansas to do much of anything of worth this year? Is it a chip on their shoulder, or do they buy into that? Because there have been teams that buy into that, right? When the media is like, well, this team's probably not going to win X amount of games. They're probably not going to be that good of a football team. There are some people that ticks them off, and they go out there and they win just to spite those people. Then there are other teams that buy into that, and they actually turn out to be worse than what was said about them. Which direction is this Arkansas team going to go? They can get ticked off, and they could probably save their coach another season. Or they can buy into that narrative that Arkansas is not really going to do much this year, and then they'll be looking for a new head coach. I think that they already have a next head coach on their staff. I am not a big conspiracy theory guy. Well, I enjoy hearing conspiracy theories because I think they're interesting to just kind of see where they originate and come from. But I'm not one of those people that are like putting on tinfoil hats and believing the conspiracy theories. However, the one I heard about Arkansas is definitely an interesting one. And that is that they've brought Bobby Petrino back to be the head coach in waiting. So that way, if Sam Pittman is not getting the job done, well, let's move Coach Pittman out. Let's put Bobby Petrino in as the interim head coach. See how the season goes. If he has success, we'll remove that interim tag and just hire him to be the head coach at Arkansas once again. This time with a clause in the contract saying no motorcycles and no extracurricular activities with boosters. So I would not be surprised one bit if that's what happens with Arkansas. But I really do want to hear from Sam Pittman today how this team buys in and how they improve moving forward. Texas A&M, Mike Elko, he's the new guy there in College Station. I want to hear what he feels like he can bring from his time at Duke as the head coach and the success he had at Duke the last season or two that he can bring over into the SEC and to Texas A&M that's going to translate. Also, I'd like to hear how he's going to clean up Jimbo's mess, because much like Billy Napier had to clean up Dan Mullen's mess at Florida, Mike Elko is going to have to clean up Jimbo Fisher's mess at Texas A&M. I think, and this seems to be a thing with Jimbo Fisher, by the way, when he's the head coach at a program, right? Because it took to what, Mike Norvell now, for them to finally have the mess cleared up at Florida State after Jimbo Fisher left? I mean, we might as well just call him Hurricane Jimbo, because he leaves devastation wherever he goes. I'm very curious to see or to hear what Mike Elko has to say about cleaning up and getting this program moving in the right direction. Because let me tell you something, A&M, look, A&M, despite not winning a national title since what, like the 30s, maybe? Something along those lines? Since not winning a national title since that long, they are still a very prominent and relevant program in this country. And if you get them winning 10 games consistently every year, oh, that means Kyle Field's going to be a madhouse every time there's a home game there. And that means that this college or this Texas A&M team is probably going to be a part of the college football playoffs at some point during that time. But he's got to clean up Jimbo's mess first. So I'm very curious to see kind of how he alludes to what he needs to do and the job he has ahead of him there in College Station. But also I'm very curious to see what he can bring from Duke in the ACC that he feels like would be successful here in the SEC. Auburn, Hugh Freeze is going to be taken to the stage a little later on today. Really, from Hugh Freeze, I just want to hear the improvements the team's made from year one to year two, right? They say your biggest step that you make, whether you're a player or a head coach or as a team, really, it's between year one and year two. So I'm very curious to see from hear from Hugh Freeze what he says is the biggest improvement that this team has made, those steps forward that this team has made. I think last year was kind of they're trying to move past the previous era of Auburn Tiger football. They're trying to build up a platform for their success. And I think this year they're going to be able to be a little bit better of a football team. Are they going to be a college football playoff contender or an SEC championship contender? Probably not. Are they going to be a team that surprises some people and maybe knocks off a team they're not expected to beat? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Look at what Hugh Freeze did when he was at Ole Miss, right? It's kind of the same pattern. He takes over that first season, just kind of meh, lackluster, trying to build that foundation. Then that second year, it's like, okay, there's some games that, you know, could be a 50-50 toss-up, but we don't really expect Ole Miss to win it. Then Ole Miss wins it, and then we're like, okay, Ole Miss is actually not that bad of a football team. And then all of a sudden, Hugh Freeze has beaten Nick Saban in Alabama on a consistent basis, and they're ranked in the top 10, sometimes even in the top 5. I think he can kind of have that same pattern, that same effect at Auburn. So they're kind of in that phase right now, I think, or at least starting that phase right now, to where there's going to be some games that maybe they're picked not to win, but they're actually going to pull it out and they're going to win it. It's going to be a close game, and it's going to surprise a lot of people. So I expect Auburn to be a little bit better of a football team. Like I said, I just want to hear from Hugh Freeze how he feels that improvement from year one to year two is going with that team. And finally, Kentucky, Mark Stoops. He's going to be taken to the stage today. My thing with Kentucky and Mark Stoops, what I want to hear from them, what's next? What's next? So many different levels to that question, because we talked about Mike Elko being the new guy at Texas A&M. Let's not forget, that was almost Mark Stoops. There was a lot of stories breaking that Mark Stoops and Texas A&M were working to try to finalize a deal. Now, was that Jimmy Sexton working behind the scenes trying to beef up a new deal for Mark Stoops at Kentucky? Maybe. But where there's smoke, there's fire, and there was a lot of smoke about Mark Stoops leaving, going to Texas A&M. There's always been some type of rumor about Mark Stoops leaving, but we never actually had official reports of them finalizing or working to try to finalize a contract like we did with the A&M job. So for Mark Stoops, it's what's next? Are you sticking around in Kentucky, or is there going to be another place that comes knocking on your door that you actually take the bait and you're curious about and you want to hear the conversation about being their next head coach, wherever that may be? But then also for this Kentucky football team, what's next? You've slayed all the demons that you had before you. That long losing streak you had to Florida, it's over. You're actually on the winning side of that series as of late. You've had a lot of success against the Florida Gators. You've had a lot of success winning football games, getting to bowl games, winning the bowl games. So what's next for Kentucky? Obviously, I think that next step is beating Georgia. I think that's that next monkey off their back that they've got to release from. And then they can move on from there. And I think moving on from there will become an SEC contender, SEC championship game. Do I expect all of that to happen for Kentucky this year? No, but I think that's the steps of which they should take. So the thing I want to hear from Mark Stoops this year, I don't want to hear X's and O's. I don't want to hear anything like that. I want to hear what's next for Kentucky. What is the mindset of this program moving forward? You've slayed some of your demons, yes, but you still got more on the list that you got to take care of. How do you do that? Definitely tuning in later on today at SEC Media Days and finding that out. And, of course, tomorrow it'll be a Finally Friday here on the Glass Half Full, which means we will be talking the final day of SEC Media Days, recapping it. So all the coaches we talked about today, Sam Pittman, Mike Elko, Hugh Freeze, and, of course, Mark Stoops, we'll recap what they had to say, see if there was anything worth getting excited about. Other than the fact that we're just a few weeks away from the college football season. How great is that? Seems like just yesterday we were watching Michigan lift that trophy, and we knew that dread. We knew that when we woke up the next morning, it wasn't going to be college football season anymore. Well, now we know we're just about 3 weeks away. And to help that, we actually now have NCAA Football 25, thanks to our good friends over at EA Sports. So definitely we'll be able to play a few games with that in and keep it going in the meantime until we get to the season getting kicked off. So definitely looking forward to it. I'm excited for it. It's going to be a weird year, man. With all the rule changes, the 2-minute warning now in college football, the 12-team playoff, it's going to be a weird year, but man, it's going to be so great. And we will cover every second of you, that got a little weird. We'll cover every second of it with you right here on the Glass Half Full on ESPN Pensacola podcast with me, Jordan Glass. Hey, have a great Thursday. I'll talk to you tomorrow for a Finally Friday.